That brings us now to chapter 54. And chapter 54 is a very logical chapter to follow here because we have the song that accompanies salvation and the future glories of Israel here. Because you see, the Redeemer is coming to Zion. And someday, they're going to behold him and ask him, what mean those nail prints in your hands? He said, I received those in the house of my friends. And there is to be great joy. So this next chapter opens with a song. Sing, O barren, verse 1. And he's talking here directly to Israel. And he's talking to you and to me. Now, I can't sing. Maybe you can, and if you can, that's wonderful. But I'm going to be able to sing someday. And today, I'm very happy that he says to make melody in your heart. I'm really in tune in my heart, but I've somehow or another never been able to get the mouth in tune. But this is a marvelous passage now. You see, redemption brings a song into the world. All that the world can produce is the blues and rock music. Not pretty. Not really joyful. It's always a plaintive note. And I want to tell you, it's only redemption that can give you a song. And here we have it. The world sings the blues. The redeemed sing of blessings. The world has its rock and roll. The redeemed sing of redemption. The world plays jazz. The redeemed have the reality of joy. And so there follows the sacrificial sufferings of the servant in chapter 53, now chapter 54, that opens with a great hallelujah chorus. And someday we're going to all join in this. It's in Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sung a new song. Well, it's going to be a new song because you and I both are going to be able to sing it. And it's going to be new for me. Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. What a picture you have here. You see, this is the church that's mentioned in Revelation. But here in the 54th of Isaiah, why, it is the nation Israel. The church is a chaste virgin. Here you have a restored wife. And I read now the rest of verse 1, because we have now in the first 10 verses the regathering and restoration of Israel as the desolate wife of Jehovah. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Now you have here this wonderful song, and I think you see it in miniature in the life of Sarah. Here is Sarah, barren, childless, and an old woman, 80 years old, no children. And now God makes the barren to bring forth. And just think of the millions that have come from her. May I say to you, that's the reason God's given us that story. It's to let us know here. So the first word after the crucifixion in Isaiah 53 is sing. And it's a call to Israel to sing. But they're not singing over there today. In the past, Israel has been a barren wife, but out yonder in the future, her travailing is over, because her travailing so far has only produced wind. It's like the mountain that travailed and brought forth a mouse. But her future is more glorious, as there are going to be many children in the future. The Word of God makes it clear that the great days are right down yonder ahead of us. It gets gooder and gooder all the way along if you're a child of God. Today's better than yesterday, And you want to know something? Tomorrow's going to be better than today. Can't have it any more wonderful than this, friends. Verse 2, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Now, the nation Israel has never occupied the entire land that God has given to them. The land that God marked out for them, and you'll find it in Joshua 1:4, it was about 300,000 square miles. Even in their heyday, when they reached the zenith under David and Solomon, they only occupied 30,000 square miles. Quite a difference. Now God says, you're going to lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You're going to be safe in that land. You won't need to be afraid of the Arab in that day. And during the millennium, they're going to occupy the total borders. And the city of Jerusalem was going to have large suburban areas and no traffic jams. Now, how the Lord will work that out, don't ask me, I don't know. But he's going to work it out. Verse 3, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now, the Gentiles have occupied most of the land of promise. They have it today. And they're going to withdraw to their own borders. The whole problem in the world today is that not only are individuals trying to step over in somebody's territory, but nations are trying to expand their borders too. That's caused the problem in this world today. You remember James, in a practical way, said, we just keep on wanting more and more and more, and that's what produces wars. Now he goes on here, verse 5, for thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. Now, God will own them as his redeemed in that day. Now we are told in verse 6, for the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken, grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith the Lord. Now, Israel is today like a wife that has been divorced for adultery. That's the figure of speech that's used. And when you have a figure of speech like that, a type, don't try to push them too far, because they merely illustrate in one particular area. Now he says, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. Now, that's verse 7 here, chapter 54. And in that day, we're going to look back, all of us, not only Israel, and we're going to look at what we thought was terrible down here, but it was a light affliction, and it was just for a moment, and it's going to work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And we need to get our eyes on things that are not seen. We're looking at too many things that are seen today. Now, verse 10, for the mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Now, if you feel that God's going to break his covenant he made with Abraham, the eternal covenant, Isaiah would have you know that you're wrong. God says he's not going to break that covenant, never will break it. He doesn't intend to break it. Now, we have in this last section here the rejoicing and righteousness of Israel as the restored wife, and that began here with verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. Verse 15, behold, they shall surely gather together. And verse 17, and this is a marvelous verse of Scripture. Notice this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Too bad Hitler didn't read that. Too bad that Haman didn't take note of that. Too bad today that Russia didn't take note of that, or doesn't take note. And there are a lot of anti-Semites in this country ought to read that verse. God intends to do the thing he says right here. Next time now, we'll begin at chapter 55 of Isaiah. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.